Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force. Here's your host, Dr. Jim Rohn.
Praise the Lord, it is another beautiful day. We have a very interesting guest, David Purdue. He's been on the Sid Roth Show, and he's been a Vietnam veteran. He was in the infantry. He's faced death many times. He's been a policeman in Beaumont, Texas. He loves the Lord. He's a sweetheart. And he's in now in international ministry. Hi, David.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing great today. What's on your heart today?
We've been working in ministry for many years. We've seen thousands of people healed by the power of Jesus. And throughout the world, we work in Cambodia, Vietnam, Philippines, Barbados, Poland, Germany, Guam, and shortly going in Dominican Republic, then India.
Wow. You said something. How many times have you been to the Orient?
I've been 19 times to Asia since the war.
19 times. Okay. What is prominent today in your thinking? What would you like to take us?
Well, I'd like to first share my testimony.
Great.
And God saved me as a 30-year-old adult. But before that, I went into Vietnam in combat, and I was far from God. And I should have been killed many times, but God allowed me to live. One time I tripped a booby trap hand grenade 2 feet from my right leg. It did not explode. Another time a mortar round landed in front of me, bounced around, did not explode. On another situation, I walked into an enemy base camp. Three of us went in on a cloverleaf patrol where three men go out for the main unit. I told two men go one way, I went the other way. It looked like it was abandoned, but as I walked, I realized it was a fresh base camp. And I walked up on a bunker, a kitchen bunker, very large. It had seven chickens walking in front. And as most people know, they carried their food live in the jungle. Well, when I walked up within 15 feet of the bunker, five of the seven men in there stood up on me. And the one at the door actually smiled at me. I dove behind a termite hill that almost looked like concrete in the jungle. This was probably about 3.5 feet tall, probably a couple feet wide at the base. And I began to fire my M16 rifle, and it jammed. I began to throw hand grenades, and I'd unjam the rifle, fire again, and finally my two friends got close enough to me because we each carried four hand grenades each, and they threw their hand grenades at me. I popped the pins. I threw 12 hand grenades, fired several hundred rounds of ammunition, and God allowed me to live. It was 7-1. My termite hill was disappearing, them shooting it with automatic weapons, And we end up capturing two men that went out, dropped in another tunnel that was wounded. The other five did not make it, but God allowed me to live.
My, that ought to have been the start of something big.
Amen. And another time in a major battle, in fact, when they go online and look at my site, the helmet I'm wearing in that photos, those photos that they will see that... 4 days after that, that helmet in a major battle was tore off my head with shrapnel from our own jet airplanes.
Friendly fire.
And so God allowed me once again to live, and I didn't realize what he had planned for me, but he had another plan.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I come out of Vietnam very, very bitter, bound by alcohol, very heavy smoker, and I used to rather fight than eat. Now I'd rather eat than fight.
I can tell.
I tell people I'm too old to fight now. I'm too fat to run. I'm in trouble. But I did finally calm down a little bit and went to law enforcement in Beaumont, Texas. But yet I loved it. It was a very wonderful police department, a very upfront, good police department. But I enjoyed the fighting all the time. And I loved the action because I had that aggression still in me. But that's where God saved me. I was on the police department and stayed there another 8 months. I liked 2 months of 6 years being with them when God began to move me and change my life again.
He changed your life. How'd that happen?
Yeah, he began to deal with me about getting right with him. I'd had an experience as a young child, and I was never grounded in the Word of God. All I knew growing up was in and out of church. But he began to deal with me very, very strongly. And I had three children already. My wife, we've just celebrated 44 years of marriage. Married right before I went to Vietnam in the war. But God began to deal with me if I did not get right with him, that he would take one of my children to bring me to my knees. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was imagining it, but one day my wife come walking out of my folks' house in the country. My father was a radio operator on a ship, and he was in, and he was not serving God then, but he had a dream that he was on the high seas and got a message that one of his grandchildren had died from eating poison berries in the woods. And when she said that, I looked up, and all the red holly berries as poison was in full fruit. And I knew God was dealing with me. And I was totally bound by alcohol. I was up there hunting, and there's a revival going on at some family's church. And I iced down beer in the back of my Jeep, and I struggle every night whether to start drinking after coming off the stand or go to church. And when I did go to church, I'd bring the beer with me, say, if I don't get right with God tonight, I'll drink it on the way home.
You had strong feelings, conviction? I mean,
oh, very, very strong. I was really just a hunger inside of me for the God I once knew.
Oh, okay.
But I was so full of bitterness and hate and bound with alcohol. What I was doing, I was really trying to drown the demons of my past.
Trying to drown them.
Mm-hmm. In the experiences of war that I'd gone through.
Mm-hmm.
But God was dealing with me. And finally, one day on a deer stand, my father dropped me off at his old truck. I laid my rifle aside and began to weep and weep. I said, God, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with this alcohol? What's wrong with all this beer? And it just came to my soul so strong, it's coming between you and your God. I said, Lord, I'll never touch it again. And I got off that deer stand, got my wife and children, drove 50 miles back to where I lived in Beaumont, loaded up a black garbage bag of all my booze and everything else in my home I shouldn't have, threw it in a Pizza Hut dumpster, headed back to north 50 miles to where the revival was. I don't even know what the preacher preached that night, but when he said, anybody wants to come and pray, I hit the altar weeping. He said, thank God for this man. Within moments, I heard him say, thank God for this lady. I didn't have to look up as my wife. And we've been serving God together ever since. Praise God.
Well, your life now is totally involved with the Lord, serving the Lord.
Yes, it is.
You're not a policeman. You're not on any other kind of employment.
No.
And your ministry is international, and you start telling us of how many places you've been. Now, we'd like to find out more about that. It seems exhausting. How do you do it?
God's help.
I would say so. I try it, and I can do a trip about once in 6 months. But how do you fly these long distances?
Well, God has helped us, but we've flown so much now, I kind of got used to it, really. I just sit in the seat of the plane and bounce around with it, even in turbulent weather. And my wife says, I can't believe you're still sleeping. And I just do my thing. I just got used to doing it, so it doesn't bother me like it did. My only complaint is the seats are getting smaller on the airlines.
Oh, they are small. You know, and if you sat down beside me, my seat would even be smaller.
Right. That's what I'm talking about. And
well, I'd like to hear some of your adventures. I'm sure the people listening.
Right. Yes, the healing. We have seen thousands of people healed. My wife used to catalog every healing, write down where it was, what was healed. And once we got to 5,000 that we saw, we just quit counting. Oh my. And that was about 6 or 7 years ago.
You mean healing and miracles?
Miracles.
Happening,
yeah, the one she wrote down was instant miracles. But now a high percent of everyone in our services receive instant miracles.
You mean physical healing is happening in your ministry?
Yes, over and over.
Wow, I don't see much of that in the States.
Yeah, we see it in the States the same percent as I see overseas. Most people always say, why does it happen in the U.S. like it happens overseas? My answer is, it does.
Okay.
And I refuse to confess that it does not.
Okay.
And we see the same percent results.
So you're turning the tide then. You will not accept that there's a difference in healing.
No.
The amount of healing in the States
right. Versus
what's happening. Well, you know, we'd like to hear more about that healing, physical healing. I'm sure there's a lot of people that are listening need physical healing. I mean, what's the possibility of them even receiving healing?
Oh, yes. Yes, they can. In fact, we've had many receive healing by CD, radio programs, live programs, like when I was on Sid Roth program.
Mm-hmm.
And we see this constantly. Just recently, a medical doctor from Washington, D.C., called my wife and I. He'd been listening to my CDs since he heard about me on Sid Roth. His wife came down. He's a medical doctor. Came down with breast cancer. And they did a biopsy. It was the fastest moving kind. This was only about 2 months ago. And he called us. And on a Saturday night, my wife and I prayed on the telephone. And she went under the knife with a surgeon on Thursday. They removed the tumor in one lymph node. And when the pathologist checked it, it was totally dead. And the surgeon came to my friend, the medical doctor, and said, "How did you kill the cancer in your wife's breast?" He said, "Prayer, prayer, prayer. Okay. Praise God."
And he was a medical doctor.
Yes.
Here he's trained in medicine. He understood, you know, the odds and what cancer is all about. And he calls you a faith healer.
Yes.
And he expected you to do something.
Yes, and we prayed, and since then, him and his wife has come to where we live in New York, spent the weekend with us, spent all day Saturday training him on healing, and he's beginning a healing ministry himself besides his medical practice.
Okay, so prayer. I mean, prayer to God? I mean, how does this work?
Yes, Jesus is the one that went to the cross, and we talk about the blood he shed for our sins. But he shed blood through his back, through his stripes, for our healing. And we had the faith to believe it. And we see many healed. Sometime back in Cambodia, there's a man that was run over by 7 water buffalo, elderly man. And he had broken bones all over his body. And they brought me to where he was, and he was laying under a hut on one of the big cane beds. And suddenly I felt something come over me. I told my translator, I said, "A man's going to walk." And I crawled over and drug him to the side of the bed, lay hands on him. And it was not like he stood up. It's like an angel or something grabbed him from the bottom. He was thrown probably 3 or 4 feet into the air, landed out there on his feet, and began to raise his hands and thank God that he was healed. He was 100% healed, all the broken bones instantly.
Yeah, you were telling me earlier about all those broken bones and organs smashed.
Yes. Yeah. He could not even lift his head to feed himself. He was just laying there, family expected him to lay there till he dies.
Just laid him there till he died.
Right. Because you're not talking about a place that has medical help way out in those villages.
Okay. They don't have medical help. In fact, what could medical help do him?
Yeah, it'd be horrible. It'd be horrible. But thank God for Jesus, what he did.
Thank you, Lord. Instantaneously.
Yeah, instantaneously. And we've seen many other miracles. In Cambodia one time, they brought a 6-year-old Vietnamese boy to us. And on his left buttocks, he had a cancer the size of a cantaloupe. And down his left leg had several plum-sized cancers. He could not even stand. They carried him in, set him in the seat, leaned back in it. We prayed, and my wife and I had already been there 2 months in Cambodia and Vietnam. We prayed for him. The next day, we're flying back to U.S., and he said he felt a little stronger through a translator, but they carried him back out. I found out later, 3 days later, he jumps up and takes off running. The photo that people will see on my website is 1 year later, that when I came back and found out, I said, "Bring the boy to me." And the photo was 1 year later, still healed. And last I heard of him, he's a teenager in Cambodia. Praise God.
He's still healed today.
Amen.
It's just not like it's something that happens for an hour or two.
He would probably have been dead in weeks. He was nearly dead. But it does not matter with Jesus.
And he's alive today and well?
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, my. And he realizes he received a healing.
Amen. And the healings are not just overseas. We were in Syracuse, New York, sometime back. and a young mother. She's 20 years old, and she had two inoperable cancerous tumors in her brain. They had done chemotherapy. Nothing happened, and I embarrassed myself that night. I had not realized that chemotherapy, no hair.
So she had tumors on the brain.
Yes, two inoperable tumors in her brain. It could not operate. It said she had 2 months to live at the max.
Oh, my.
And I didn't realize that chemotherapy, she lost hair, and I saw this big head of hair. I went to pray for her. I shoved the wig back on her head and tried to straighten it out. It was all crooked, but glory to God. She was 100% healed. The tumors went early that next week. Tumors gone.
Completely gone.
Completely gone.
Oh, thank
Hallelujah.
You, praise you, Lord. Wow. Somebody out there may have a tumor today. After you tell these stories, I'd like you to pray for those out there that have needs like this as the Holy Spirit leads you. So these are like instantaneous miracles, or they happen maybe in a few days. Maybe 2-3 days.
Sometimes people have what I call divine healing.
Okay.
And it used to be a ministry many times, 50% was being instant miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I lay hands on cancer and just disappear in my hands. But other times you'd pray like nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
And many times, usually within 2 weeks, be totally gone.
So it could take time.
But now we're seeing more instant miracles than divine healing, but both are very biblical.
These instant miracles, I mean, how did this ever come about? You told me about putting your hands on tumors, and right under your hands, they would disappear.
Yes.
Or one case you were saying about, it felt like a mouse.
Yes, it did.
Well, how'd this come about?
Yeah. I was so hungry for God, and I was reading the Bible, what the Word of God said, and I was not seeing it. And so we begin to pray. We begin to fast long periods of time. Sometimes I finish a long fast up way up in the top of the mountains by myself, just in prayer. And I kept seeking God. And finally, they begin to happen. But at that time, they're only about 30% of everybody I prayed for back then was being healed. But finally, one time in one night, I went from 30% to 80 or 85% in one night.
How'd that happen?
Jesus revealed himself to me as Christ the healer. And I realized from him that it was not his will for any of his children to die of cancer, of AIDS, of tuberculosis, or anything like that. And my faith went way up, and now it's way up in the high 90s that we're seeing instant miracles. And I believe most of the others are being healed in a short time.
Now, I'm going to have a couple things I would like to find out. You went and separated yourself somewhere to pray. Well, I mean, how does that work? I mean, somebody listening may want to, they want that same thing. I want to pray for people and they're healed. Well, what would you do? You know, they just sit there or wait around for the Lord or read your Bible? What actually happened?
Jesus taught us that some levels of power come from prayer and fasting. And we've always been very heavy in prayer, but we begin to fast long periods of time, not eating. We usually have some water, fruit juice, and seeking God, studying his word. Also, anytime I found a ministry that was moving in power, I did my best to study from that ministry, because I'm a composite of many wonderful ministries. And it's not a one-man show. And I tell people, I'm not the healer. Jesus is the healer.
Mm-hmm.
But I would go up in the mountains and down to finish it up. I'd be praying. I'd be taking authority. And something I've learned that's helped me probably more than anything else is I've learned to pray first person.
First person.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Yes. See, the Bible says that we could call the things that be not as though they are. What that means is the things that are not in the natural yet, we can speak it as it is. And so before I ever begin to see blinded eyes opening, I'm praying. I lay hands on the blind and they see. I lay hands on the deaf ears and they open.
You start confessing this.
Yeah, I confess it first person.
A first person.
Because then I'm calling the things that be not as though they are. And I've learned that this is one of the major ways the Lord transfers that power to anointing to us. Because as we're doing that, it finally gets in our spirit. It becomes part of us. And it works very well.
You were telling me another time when your healing level went up. You were in an airport. Now, you just yes. told me about seeking the Lord, fasting,
yes.
prayer, other ministries. You're a composite of other, yes. what you've learned. You put it together. And, you know, that's a real good point, because it seems that in ministries, some people, they fight one another, you know.
Right.
And, you know, you can learn something from other ministries.
Oh, certainly.
And
we
that
need
adds
each other.
To you. That makes you something you weren't the day before,
Amen.
Right?
Okay. We need each other.
Well, there was a unique experience when your healings went from some percentage to a higher percentage. And you were saying something about being in an airport.
Yes. We'd had some meetings with a very powerful prophet in New York that was with us. And he had prophesied that he knew in the natural my son and I was getting ready to go to Vietnam together. But he had prophesied that my ministry would go from one office to another office with more authority and power, and I'd see it on that trip. Well, we changed planes in Hong Kong at the airport, and I was standing there in the old Hong Kong airport close to the escalators, and suddenly I felt this huge angel. It felt like a furnace come up behind me. It was just burning me, and I knew it was something was really up big. And now I realize it was an angel of commissioning. At that time, when I went into Vietnam for the very first time in my life, cancers began to disappear in my hands. And that first one, as you mentioned briefly a while ago, that I lay hands on this, a lady had it on her neck, the right side of her neck, and it began to squirm like a mouse in my hand. And it totally went down, gone. And people just went wild in the place. They'd never seen that before. But God had moved me to that other level, and I had more authority then. And God will take you different steps, just like climbing up stairs. You have to take the first step, then you take the second step. And God would not promote us to another grade like in school until we pass the test, and then He'll promote us. And then we learn on that level for a while, and He promotes us again. And let me say that what I'm seeking is not the signs and wonders. I'm seeking Him. He's my focus, to know Him. But the book of Daniel in chapter 10 says the people that do know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. And so my heart is to know Him. If I never saw another miracle in my life, I want Him. But because I have Him, and that relationship is not religion, it's relationship, I have all the side benefits.
Okay, this is not religion. This is not denominational ministry necessarily. This is about a relationship.
Yes.
And some of that relationship happened on the mountain and while you were fasting and reading the Bible.
Yes.
And when you read the Bible, does it speak to you? Some people say it speaks to them. And
oh, yes.
It speaks to you?
Oh, it's definitely. So now you're reading it, something you read over and over, suddenly like jumps out all over you.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good point. Read it over and over, because sometimes when you're talking to people about the Bible, they say, yeah, I read that.
Right.
I read that 1960.
Right.
That's not enough, is it?
Right.
You got to get it and just keep on feeding on it.
And as on studying the Word of God, Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prayed a prayer for them that the spirit of wisdom and revelation will come upon them, the eyes of their understanding be enlightened in the knowledge of Him. Mm. And so I tell people, pray that prayer before you study the Bible. Lord, let the spirit of wisdom and revelation come on me. Open my spiritual eyes into the knowledge of you, Lord.
Mm. So there's more to learn all the time. Looks like you're in a process of being a perpetual student.
Yes, I am. I study all the time, and we train people. We do School of the Spirits and conferences in New York. We travel to churches and train people. We train them overseas because I want them to have everything I have and more. There's no competition here.
Wonderful. Now, we have a few more minutes on this first program of a series that we have with you. I'd like you to pray for our audience. There is somebody out there today, you need a healing or you're hurting. As David said here, it's not just about healing, it's about a relationship. Maybe your relationship with the Lord is not what it should be, or you feel you want a relationship. Could you pray for these people, David?
Certainly. In the name of Jesus, I pray right now that a great hunger will come upon each one, Lord, to know You as they never knew before. Father, let them desire you. Let them desire the Holy Spirit to walk with them. Lord, let this hunger come. And right now, Lord, every sickness, every disease, every spirit of infirmity, every spirit of death, every cancer, AIDS, female problems, cysts, I command you to disappear right now. Spirit of arthritis, come out of them. In the name of Jesus, right now, I speak the word of faith to come over these airways this moment. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. Well, I praise the Lord for this time with David Cordeau. Thank you, David. What a story. Today was the first part of a two-part series with David Cordeau. Tune in next program and hear David Cordeau again as he continues his story. Okay, David, would you pray for those that are listening today?
Yes. Father, we thank you that your will be done on earth in these listeners' lives today as it is in heaven. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice. Lord, we ask you to touch them right now. Holy Spirit, begin to lead and guide them into all truth. Lord, those that are hungry for the supernatural, those that are hungry to see signs, wonders, and miracles, whether it's in their church, or whether it's in their home, gathering with friends, or whether it's on the streets. Lord, let them realize that we must lift you from the ink and the pages of the Bible we hold in our hands and present a living Savior to our world. They need to see something real. And we thank you, Lord, that your Spirit is drawing them, that no man come to God except the Spirit draw. And Lord, those that want to move in this, let us be in contact and with us or with other people that move in this and realize that they can begin to do the same thing, that you're no respecter of persons. If you do it for no you now, you'll do it for them. They just need to step out in faith, take a step of faith. We thank you, Lord. Draw them by your Spirit. In Jesus' holy name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
In a brand new touch, my strength from yesterday is gone. But if you'll give me, Lord, another touch, I'll have the strength to carry on. But all too soon it went away, and in its place the storm clouds came, and with the clouds there came the rain. It rained so hard and all so long, but midst the storm I felt a calm. It was your touch that brought me through it all. Without your help I'd surely fall. Lord, you know I need a brand new touch. My strength from yesterday is gone. But if you'll give me, Lord, another touch, I'll have the strength to carry on. Yesterday has come and gone, and now a new day's coming on. I do not know what...
Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.
Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force.
I'm Jim Rome. So, until we meet again, God bless you.